Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we might understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd please turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 53. This is page 1041 in our Red Pew Bibles. Page 1041, Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 53. Jesus had just finished telling a number of parables about the kingdom of God, and now he heads to his hometown of Nazareth, and he is not very well received. So we pick up at verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at some readings out of Luke chapter 10. And discussed a number of the healing instances of Jesus. Wednesday night also, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and again encountering numerous times where Jesus was displaying his power and who he was based on the signs that he was showing the people, specifically these signs of great healing. And so it was a couple of weeks ago I shared you that I really had kind of a whole new awareness, I guess, of the scriptures, certainly things you've read over a dozen times, but all of a sudden it just struck me so much that when Jesus was sending out the disciples, he told them to tell them the kingdom of God has come near you and to heal the sick. He did not say pray for healing. He did not say ask for healing. He said heal the sick. It was a command. And I just was very convicted by that it was a command. It's not a prayer, it's not a suggestion, not a recommendation. He said, heal them, just do it. And they went out, and what did they do? They started healing everywhere. Even after the ascension, said, we're told in the early church, the Acts of the Apostles, they brought many, and they healed them all. And so I was very much convicted by that. And then last week I shared with you, as we kind of continued to look at that calling of healing, that based on the last chapter of Mark, Mark 16, that I shared with you three specific beliefs that I had come to make my own last week. The first was that I believe that because I believe in Jesus, that I will lay hands on people who are sick and that they will get well. I believe that because that's what the Word of God says. Those who believe will lay hands on sick people and they will get well. It didn't say ask for it, it said do it. So I believe that because I believe in Jesus, that through the power of the name of Jesus, that I will lay hands on people and they will be healed. A second thing I believe, again, comes from Mark 16. We're told at the very end of Mark's gospel is that the disciples who go out and proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God, that God will work with them to confirm the message that is spoken. And so I believe that as I stand up here and try to be faithful proclaiming to you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God is going to act by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see accompanying signs Which when we see the signs, it will point back to the teaching saying, okay, that's truth. That's God's truth done in the name of Jesus Christ. And now God's pouring out his power to confirm that truth. So as I am faithful to the scriptures and the text standing up here proclaiming to you this word, I believe that God will confirm or affirm that word by signs, of which I believe the primary one will be, in fact, healing. A third thing I shared with you last week that I believe, and this again comes from Mark, where there were certain disciples who did not believe in Jesus, even though he manifested himself to them, and he kind of rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. And so the third thing that I believe is that as I talk about laying my hands on people, as I talk about signs accompanying the proclamation of the truth, I believe the only thing that will prevent that from happening would be my own unbelief and my own hardness of heart. That's the only thing that can keep that from happening. So I believe laying on of hands, I believe affirmation by signs and wonders, and I believe the only thing that prevents that is my own unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, I don't just believe that this is true for me, because the scriptures say it is true for all who believe in Jesus. It's not because I'm an ordained priest or I'm the pastor. It's not because of that. It's because of faith in Jesus Christ. And if you too have faith in Jesus Christ, that very same things that I just said should also apply to each and every one of us. And so I believe that this is true because it's the Word of God. And I kind of challenged this last week. Do we really believe the Bible is the Word of God? Because this is what the Bible says. So I believe it. Now, does this mean, as I shared last week, that I believe that every time I lay hands on somebody, they're going to see immediate and complete physical healing? No, that's not what I believe that God is saying. What I do believe is that every time there is a prayer, a pronunciation, a giving forth of that Spirit, that every time someone asks for it, that there will be a strengthening in body, soul, and spirit. Remember, we talked about healing. It isn't just physical. There is mental healing. There's emotional healing. There's healing of the will. There's healing, certainly, of the spirit. So I believe body, soul, and spirit, there is a strengthening that will come week after week by this pronouncement of the healing power of God upon each of us. So as we come and we get this kind of like medicine over time, as we take it over time, week after week after week, pronouncement by pronouncement, that power of healing will grow in each of us, a process of healing in body and soul and in spirit. And I absolutely believe that is true. I'm not sure why it's at this particular time, except I think there is kind of a new season now. We've got this Jewish New Year happening, Year of Jubilee, a lot of signs in the heavens and so forth that we've talked about over the last year. Something's happening. Some kind of power is being released. I believe both positive and negative, by the way. But I believe this is a time that maybe God's going to be using this to bring other people to himself. That's ultimately the design of God in all things. And so I believe that this power is available, it's here, and we're already seeing it. Some people have already said some things that they felt, a sense of just the prayers that have already been offered over the last couple of weeks. Now today we need to kind of talk about the worldliness, the reality of the skepticism that kind of creeps into this. Because after all, there are so many people who are not healed. And so I want to address that question today, that kind of questioning is, well, why is it so much healing does not happen? If the scriptures say this, if it's been in the church forever, why is so much not done? Well, I believe there are five factors for us to consider. And the first one we heard in our reading from Matthew about Jesus going back to his hometown in Nazareth, and we're told they could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is something I think concerns all of us, because we all have a sense that, well, do I really believe? I mean, how do you really know what you believe and to what extent you believe, particularly when it comes to healing? Again, on Wednesday night, as we've gone through the Gospel of Matthew, we've heard time and time again the connection between faith and healing. Jesus says to someone, your faith has made you well, or according to your faith, it will be done unto you. And so we hear that time and time again, and some people have built ministries around this faith healing and basically saying that God's design is to heal you, and if you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. How stinging that is, and I believe unbiblical in this sense, to understand what it means to have faith to be healed. But this is something that can be used in many respects of people saying, well, you're not healed simply because your faith isn't strong enough. Wow. So how do I get more? I mean, how do I believe? How am I? Do you see the dilemma that can be presented here? And so I prayed about that this week. I said, Lord, how do we know if we have enough faith to be healed? Now, again, it's still strange for me to use this kind of talk, but I believe God spoke to me this week. And God said to me, tell the people to ask this question, a very simple question. Do you want to believe? Do you want to believe that God can heal you? And I'm like, I think we can handle that one, can't we? I mean, that's pretty good. You say to somebody, well, I don't know if I have the faith. I don't know if my faith is strong. Just simply said, do you want to believe that God can heal you? And I think people can say, yes, I want to believe. And what God has told me, he says, that's enough. If all we need is a mustard seed, right? When Jesus went to Nazareth, they did not want to believe. They took offense at him, remember? They didn't want to do any great things because they were already, I don't know, jealous or whatever. They did not want to believe. So I think this is crucial to this question about having faith for healing, is simply to ask the question, do I want to believe that God can heal me? And if I say yes, then that's enough. And God says, I'll take care of the rest. Now, I would say, sadly, I still think there are many people, even at this point, I don't know if it's pride or whatever it is, still at this point, don't even feel they have enough faith to even ask for healing. So I shared a week ago, somebody's a real instance that happened recently, somebody that wanted to pray for healing, and the person said, no, don't ask for healing. I think God's too busy. I think God's too busy. So I think either we've experienced that ourselves, a time of just a reluctance, like, oh, you know, God's got so many other things to worry about, and really, would he pay attention to me, and all those kinds of things, so we don't even ask. It is important that we ask. If you look at the scriptures again and the models that are given to us, people came to Jesus. They came to him. They knelt before him, or they grabbed onto the fringe of his garment. They came to him, so they were asking for it. So I think that's an important part, is to at least have the faith to ask. And if we are confused about do we have enough, we simply ask the question, do I want to believe? And if we say, yes, I want to believe, then I believe God is saying, that's good enough. I'll take it, and I'll take it from there. So our first factor I think we look at is unbelief. And if we simply have enough faith to say, I want to believe, I think that is good enough. I think God thinks that is good enough, and that's much more important. A second issue that comes up, and this is very reasonable, is to talk about death. I mean, after all, if we said, well, everybody's going to be healed, God's going to heal everyone, you say, well, wait a minute, you know, eventually people are going to die, right? So not everybody's going to get healed. Okay, good question. So as I prayed about that, certainly the scriptures reinforce Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Right? Or I like to use the word actually cross over better. Not really dying because we're not dead. We're still alive. In fact, in many cases, more alive than ever. But a time to be born, a time to cross over. When our time comes to die, guess what? We die. We're also told in Psalm 139, verse 16, the psalmist says, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Even before we were born, all the days that were ordained for each and every one of us was known by God. So he knows every day, and he knows every time. So when our time comes, guess what? Our time has come. So you'd say, well, then why would we keep praying for healing? I actually believe it is still important to pray for healing, and I would use this term instead of healing as strengthening. There's a hard way to die, and there's a peaceful way to die. I've seen both. I suspect many of you have as well. I believe even if someone's time has come and God has revealed to me or to them that I'm preparing this person to cross over, even at that point, I believe this laying on of hand and this prayer for healing is a strengthening in body, soul, and spirit. Even bodily, I think, it will do something to us so that it will prepare us for that peaceful and holy crossing over. Certainly to strengthen us spiritually, certainly to strengthen us emotionally. So even in the time of death, if somebody's on their deathbed, I'm still going to pray that God is going to strengthen them in body, soul, and spirit, that they might have a peaceful and holy crossing over. So even in that, I believe this applies, that God says, that healing power, that strengthening power is still going to be evident and still be present. So that's the second thing, is healing. The third one is a very common biblical principle, that we reap what we sow. Again, we're asking the question, why isn't everybody healed? Why don't people receive healing? Well, we reap what we sow. What that is kind of a negative sense, is that if we have unhealthy habits or ungodly behaviors in our lives, don't expect God to bless that. Don't expect God to say, yeah, I know what you're doing, I know it's wrong, but I'll heal you. No, that's not how it works. That's why repentance is so important. And so we reap what we sow, a very consistent biblical principle. But I think the good news is that if there is an obstacle in our lives, something in our life that's connected to this illness or whatever, I believe God will reveal that to us. In fact, I'm coming to believe, I think I'm about a 50% confidence level here, coming to believe that most of the healing that God does is in the form of a word of knowledge. Not so much in this, whoo, I mean, some people get that, wow, I just feel this heat, I feel this, you know, power of God. But many times what I'm hearing from many people is it's a word of knowledge, that they were just led to go to a different doctor, to try a different method, to do something different, get a second opinion or whatever. That it's knowledge that God will give us that brings about the healing. And now, is that still God healing? Absolutely, it is. So that word of knowledge, and so we need to, that's why hearing the voice of God is so very important in all of this. How often do we pray for healing and expect healing, and we expect God's going to do something to us, instead of thinking, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do I need to do? What do I need to stop doing? Okay? Hearing the voice of God, that word of knowledge that comes to us, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, will guide us. If there's an obstacle in our lives, if there's some kind of an evil spirit that somehow has come into our lives, God will reveal that to us, I believe. We have something intergenerationally that's affecting us, we didn't even know about it. I believe God will reveal that to us. If there's some unrepentant sin in our life, like unforgiveness, how huge is unforgiveness? If we're harboring unforgiveness towards someone, God will reveal that and say, hey, you've got to deal with this unforgiveness first. So I still believe God is going to want to heal that by revealing to us what is that obstacle. And I think it's that knowledge, that word that's going to lead us to direct that, is going to actually bring about that healing. So we need to listen for those words of knowledge, because we reap what we sow. Kind of along the same lines, number four is more on the positive side, what I call the principle of participation. Principle of participation is anytime God says, I'm going to do something, He then says to us, now what are you going to do? I'm going to do my part. Now are you going to do your part? Remember that little word, if. Now, if my people, then I will do this. So this principle of participation to me says that we're praying for God to heal us, and He's saying, okay, here's my part. Now you need to do your part. Now what does that mean for us? Well, we need to take care of ourselves, right? We need to eat well. We need to exercise. How huge is exercise, right? And good health. We keep hearing that time and time again, right? The doctors tell, well, you need to exercise. You need to lose some weight. These are things that we know, right? And the third one is stress. Stress is an absolute killer of our immune system. And why is it? You know, the maker of this machine in the owner's manual says this machine needs one day of rest a week. If we don't go by the owner's manual, guess what happens? The machine is going to break down. So those are ways we just, you know, this principle of participation, as we're praying, oh yeah, heal me, but I don't want to change my life any. I don't want to change any of my behavior, any habit, but I want you to just heal me and bless all the stuff that I'm doing. No. I'll do my part. I want you to do your part, okay? Hold on, please. Principle of participation. Finally, the fifth one, it's probably the toughest one. I don't want to put this one up, but I have to. And that's this pruning thing. Pruning. In John, Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you know, and He says, but I prune the bush that it might bear more fruit. We're also told about refining the silver, right, to get rid of the dross. That's hard stuff. I believe what that means is if we go through this list and we say, I want to believe, unbelief is not an issue for me. And we go through that and we say, yes, and I even, you know, it's not my time to die. God's not revealed that to me. Okay? And then we go through and say, well, am I reaping what I'm sowing? And we'd examine our lives and say, no, I think I'm not that we're perfect, but I think I'm okay. The participation, am I kind of doing good, the right things, you know, to take care of myself, to rest, to do so? And if we go through that and it's like, no, you know, it's good, good. I believe God also will reveal this to us, is that I'm doing something in your life. The example we have here goes back to Paul. Remember Paul, the great healer, even the handkerchiefs that he had would go taken to people and they would be healed from the handkerchief or an apron. And yet Paul, we're told at the end of Timothy, he says, I left his friend in Miletus and he was ill. And we're like, wow, so Paul must have prayed over this guy. He must have had a whole bunch of people, but they left him there because he was ill. So even in Paul's time, he experienced whatever this was that was not a healing. In Paul's own life, we hear in 2 Corinthians, he was getting these great revelations from God. And it's like, wow, what revelations? How, you know, it's puffing him up. And he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So what was the purpose? To keep Paul from becoming conceited, to keep him humble. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, famous passage, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to say, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest in me. And so what we see here, again, a very important principle that God may be saying, and I don't think this is actually for most of us. I think for most of us, it's you know, one of those top four. But I do think there are some that God's saying, I really want to use this person to bear some great, great fruit. I remember the story of Derek Prince. Had this great ministry, and he was going around Africa and teaching in seminaries and all that. And finally, he was, I think it was in England somewhere, and he's looking out over the ocean. And God says to him, okay, now would you like to do some really good ministry? And he's like, I thought I was doing some pretty amazing stuff. He says, no. I'm talking about really high-level stuff here. And Derek Prince had to pray about it because he knew there was going to be a cost. And he finally, yes, Lord. And his ministry even more so went globally. And God, so there's certain times that God's doing this pruning. I think it's not most people. But for those that it is, it's certainly an important thing to understand. Because if God needs to do something in us, sometimes sickness is the only way that he will get our attention. I think all of us who have been sick, we know that sickness can be very humbling, can it? Talk about humbling ourselves, right? When we have to depend on other people, I hear a lot of people say that. I have to depend on other people, how humbling that is. Another thing that sickness and illness does is it slows us down. Imagine this dialogue with God, God saying, you need to slow down there. But yes, Lord, I will. You need to slow down there. I'm telling you again. Yes, Lord, I just got to get this one thing done and then I'll slow. You need to slow down there. Yes, Lord. Finally, he says, okay, I'm going to slow you down. Poof, right? We'd much rather do it ourselves, wouldn't we, than have God do it. So, there can be a purpose in suffering. There can be a sickness that brings about good things. And again, this too, I believe that by this prayer, this knowledge will come to us that will reveal to us, what am I doing in this? Sometimes we simply have to persevere through it. I do believe if that's the case, it will only last for a season. And God will perfect or do the work that he's wanting to do, and then he will relieve that. Now, that's my belief. But again, I believe just God, he doesn't play tricks with us, you know. He will reveal things to us. If there's anything on this list that's causing a problem, you know, an obstacle or whatever, he'll believe that. I want to share with you, this is an absolute jaw-dropping theological statement, okay? When you hear this, it's just going to knock your socks off. You're going to say, wow, I never thought. Are you ready to be really, okay? This is powerful stuff now, okay? All right, here we go. God wants to heal us. Do you believe that? Don't we some kind have a sense that I need to convince God to heal me? or I need to beg God and keep, you know, and he wants to heal us. Isn't that an amazing revelation? It's like came to me. I'm like, wow, it's so simple. It's astounding. God wants to heal me. He doesn't want to see any of us suffer, not needlessly. So yes, there are some reasons we need to do some gut checks in our lives, you know, about things that are going on. But again, I believe he will reveal that to us if we have harboring unforgiveness or whatever, because God wants to heal us. Now, I don't know why it is at this particular time, but something's happening. Some power is being released that has not been released before. I believe we're being told, I believe I'm being told, don't just go out and ask for healing. Go out and heal the people. Proclaim the gospel and heal the people. Do it. So I'm like, okay. I do believe for most of us it's a process over time, more and more and more. I also believe it's a holistic healing, not just physically, which is what we're most concerned about, but healing emotionally, spiritually, mentally, the way we think. And if there's any obstacle that's keeping, I believe God will reveal that to us. Either directly or through a reading or through maybe somebody else will say, by the way, this is, I think, a word from the Lord. And this might be what you're dealing with. So, wow, what a thing it is for God, I think, to reveal this to us. He wants to heal us. And I believe the power is there. So what I'm offering here, as I did the last 2 weeks after communion here, if you would like this prayer of healing, just indicate by touching your forehead or touching your shoulder, if you prefer for me to put a hand on your shoulder. Just going to pray, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Where did I get that from? Got it from the Bible. That's what the disciples use. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I'm not making it up. Nothing new. Or no new mousetrap here. Just trying to be obedient to what God has said he wants to do. I believe power is going to be released. The process is going to be amazing. And so my word to us today, the kingdom of God is upon us, which means that the best is yet to come, because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift, the power, and the authority of healing. Lord, where we have doubts, help us in our unbelief. And where we want to believe, Lord, we pray that you bless that as a mustard seed and make it grow. Lord, if there's any obstacles in our life, we pray that you make that known to us. Lord, if you're doing some work in our life to prune us, to refine the dross, please make that known to us and help us to persevere in the times of trial. But in all things, Lord, we trust in the truth of your word, that you are a God who heals. And you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.